Blog Talk Radio.
Shepherd, shepherd, gentle shepherd, show me how to go. Help me, guide me to green pastures, to the blinding snow. Let the lambs can go astray. Shepherd, show me how to go. Shepherd, shepherd, gentle shepherd, show me how to go. Help me, guide me to cool waters where no winds blow.
No great value there either, right? Wrong. Because you and I are those reeds. We're these smoldering wicks. I think it's important to see that he talks about bruised reeds, not damaged or diseased, but bruised. And Jesus even cares for the damaged and diseased reeds. But sometimes they are set aside. Like maybe someone with a contagious disease are quarantined. But even that is God's grace to bring about a healing. But in this instance, he's talking about bruised. It's really talking about weakness. And we are weak ones. Paul said he would rejoice in his weakness. Because the weaker he is, the stronger he is. See, the kingdom of God is way... We like to say upside down from the ways of the world. No, the world is upside down. God's kingdom is right side up. Smoldering. Smoldering happens when either the fuel is low and the wick is just burning itself, or no air. And it just smolders. Well, we would say, well, pinch it off. Cut it off. But not Jesus. He trims the lit wick so that it gives light again. He binds up the bruised reed so that it has a chance to regain its strength. I know I shared with you some years back a vision that God gave me about this. That in the vision, I saw Jesus. He was like a doctor with a white coat and stuff. You got a white coat? You do. Okay. But he had a white coat and had big pockets. Does yours have big pockets? Okay, all right. I've never really seen one, but had big pockets. And what I saw in this vision was Jesus walking along that riverbank, and he was inspecting all the reeds. And all the reeds, that, I mean, this is really kind of weird, I suppose, but all, and what he had in his pockets was scissors, tape, and popsicle sticks. And every reed that was bent over, he took a popsicle stick, found some tape on it, and moved on. He binds up the broken heart. He's the one who binds us. He's not ready to snap us off and say, oh, look at all this grass around here. One won't matter. He's the one who goes after one sheep, leaves the 99. See, it is good news. And with his scissors, I saw him trimming all these plants. And they burn brightly. And the reeds are all standing up straight again. I thank God for his tape and popsicle sticks. A bruised reed, he does not break off. If it was broken, then it would take more drastic steps to bring about the healing. But bruised. This Jesus, we are told, will bring justice to victory. I mean, we look at the world and we say, man, there's no hope. It's all dark. It's dismal. Just wait. Jesus isn't finished yet. But he will bring. He will bring rightness to jubilant victory. And then again, notice the last verse. In his name, the Gentiles will hope. The Gentiles were the outcasts. And they have been brought in. We have been brought in through our great God and Savior who created heaven and earth and all that is. It's good news for the people of God. So I want to go back to the first statement that God makes as he introduces Jesus. Behold, the slave boy of God. It's not a derogatory term, but it certainly identifies this Jesus who came, it says, because it was written of him to delight to do the Father's will. And we know that we have beheld him when we take our place among the chosen of God and serve him just as Jesus did. The Bible says he left himself an example for us that we should follow in his steps. And when we behold the Jesus that our Father introduced, we shall behold his beauty and determined to follow him. You see, if Jesus had left it up to those many who followed him to introduce him, the chances are probably 99% that they would introduce him by what he does. He healed me. He delivered me. But the Father always introduces him as who he is. That's how it was at the day of his baptism, isn't it? This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. This is how he introduced him to those three disciples. I mean, specific introduction to three men on the Mount of Transfiguration. This is my beloved son. I am well pleased with him. Listen to him. And many of us have beheld the Jesus that people have introduced. He's the one who does this, he does that, he does all of these things. And he does. But he does all of these things because of who he is. And so when we behold, that's what I'm saying, when we behold the Jesus that the Father has introduced to us, we behold his beauty and we determine to follow him. For as John writes in his little epistle, for as he is, so are we in this world. As he is, so are we in this world. And the other thing we need to take notice is that God delights to put his slave boys on display. He delights. We saw it through Isaiah. Well, he delighted to put Job on display, didn't he? Have you considered? My servant Job, my slave boy Job, there's nobody like him. There was nobody like Jesus. And as we follow after him in a very unique and mysterious way, our Father can introduce us and say, see my slave? There's nobody quite like him. Nobody quite like him. And the point is, we're all really like each other. One of the Wesleys, I think it's Charles. You know, Charles, John Wesley, they were two children of a family of 17 siblings. And Charles, in writing about his mother, Susanna, said she made all of us feel like we were her. That's what our Father does for us. He makes us sense we're his family. I'm his family. The disciples hadn't really caught that message, had they? Because they were arguing who was the best. Had they really understood the ways of God, they would all realize they were each the best. Chosen by God. He takes pleasure. Our God takes pleasure in pointing out you and me. I just feel like, I know it sort of sounds almost worldly, but I feel like I want to say, let's make it. To do his will. Following after. We can say, this is my servant. I've chosen him. I take such pleasure. Father, we do pray. We do pray, Lord. You will take pleasure in identifying us. Not by what we do, but because of our relationship with you. Your son. Whom you have chosen, in whom you take pleasure. So, Lord, let us realize what you think of us, so that we will live to not disappoint you, but that we will live as your word tells us, worthy of the Lord and worthy of the gospel of Jesus. As we surrender to you, that's how we walk. And that's how we live. Lord, we